The Lord, bless the word now, Father. Come, break it down, Father, to do our hearts once again, Lord, and bring things to our remembrance. Commit the words to your hand, Father, now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The message this morning is a simple: the Christian and the Bible. The Christian and his Bible. The Christian and her Bible. Let's go to the book of Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. But his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is the psalmist praising songs regarding the Lord of God. Being the Old Testament, is always called the Lord of God. Well, we will always hear in the New Testament, we will say it's the word of the Lord, for the word of the Lord is, his word in the New Testament is also a law to us to follow and walk in the way that God wants us to walk. Now, let's go to another verse in 2 Timothy, and this will be the key verse that we are using. 2 Timothy. And chapter 3. And we all know these verses. All these verses we all know very well. And I hope that you still turn to your Bible. And as I said, the subject is the Christian and the Bible. So what is the Bible to you if you do not want to open it up and use it? Alright, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me just Jimmy, can you just check the screen, the camera, whether it is recording? I don't know whether. Is it recording?
Yeah, recording.
Huh? Recording. All right. Although we are all well versed with this verse. And we are dealing, of course, today with us, ourselves, us and the Bible. Because with, as Christians, without the Bible, without the scripture of God, then we don't have teaching and doctrine, or as to the revelation of God and to the knowledge of Him, as to what was our purpose, or is our purpose on this earth, and why is this earth created, why is the universe created? So, there is a purpose for our life on earth. And we find our direction, our understanding only from the scripture. And that's why it is so important, as Paul has said, all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now this is Paul's epistle to Timothy. And that's why he used the word that the man of God, he's talking to Timothy, being that he's a man of God because he's a minister. And Paul wanted him to really search the scripture. Now though Paul wrote this to Timothy, it is also for us, that we are all men and women of God, we belong to God, and we all have, as it says here, be perfected, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that all good works, as all good Christian works, that ought to be manifest. So, if we don't use this Bible, if we as believers do not look into the scripture of God, then what are we? What understanding do we have? How do we build up? For the Bible itself says, God said that I am perfect, be perfect as I am perfect. For if our lives are not out to be as God said, be holy as I am holy. So how can we, being sons and daughters of God, are not living up to His standard, are not, you know, close to God? So that is important. So, our life is a divine life. And I want you to know that. Okay, and divine life, being that we are born again, we are children of the living God, our life is nurtured by the Word. Our life is maintained by the Word. Huh? Like any creature out there in this world, we must be maintained. Our life, even the physical life, is maintained by food, by health, by air, by we breathe, by water we drink. And the same thing with spiritual life. So, our divine life, our life as Christian, it's a divine life. We must be nurtured by the Word, maintained by the Word, and so forth. Alright, let's go on to a look at other verses of Scripture now. First John 5:13. Now, this will be a lot of scripture to refer to, because I want to bring to your remembrance some of this important thing. 1 John 5:13. This thing have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Yep. And then anyway, the last part of it, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that part is not in the original, in some places of scripture or manuscript. Okay, so what I want you to look here in this verse is what John wrote. And I said this, John is so close to Jesus Christ, so he knows about life, love, agape. And so he can write the thing that he writes. And now he said this. This thing have I written. This thing was written. This thing written. So the book, the epistle that he wrote. How many epistles that he wrote? He wrote 1, 2, 3 epistles. And the book of John, the Gospel of John. And the book of Revelation. And of course, when he said, this thing have I written, not just referring to his own epistle, of course we know that all the other epistles by Peter, by Paul, they were all written by God, or by this man of God, that we may know. So what he says here, this thing have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What he says here, of course, that you may know you have eternal life. But yeah, we know that we have eternal life, but is that all? You know, every day when I read the paper, and I will look at the obituary. I'm just always looking at obituary, maybe to find out, you know, my old colleague or someone I know, or to look at the age, how old the person or the diseased person, and also what is their faith. And you know, there are a lot of obituaries that say they quote the scripture And I just wonder if they are born again, if they have really experienced the Holy Ghost baptism. You say. So, a lot of people say, yeah, I have eternal life because, how do you know you have eternal life? Because I go to church, I have water baptism, I receive Jesus in my heart. That's wonderful. But we know that there are many, they go to church, but they're not born again. So, I remember, I think that someone asked, I think if I'm not, if I can remember correct, which is was Brother Branham or somebody anyway, regarding this nun, sister, what's the famous nun, what's her name? Yeah, Mother Teresa. You know, ask Brother Branham, I think, whether she has eternal life. Probably I make the same simple statement. Pardon me if I am wrong, that the Brother Branham was the one that people asked the question. He said that, yes, if she is born again. Obviously, you know, you have eternal life if you are born again. But a lot of people don't even know whether they are born again. And many don't even know if they are going to heaven if they die. So the most important thing here, though we know that we have eternal life, there are a lot of things that we also need to know regarding the Bible. Let us hear John 5. Lots of scriptures, so I want to go through the all 7 points with you. John chapter 5. And verse 24. Very, very, I say unto you, he that believe, that he that heareth my word, and believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word, and believe on him that sent me. Now, as I said many times, that the word believe, it's not a superficial word. It's not a mental belief. A lot of people have said they have faith, but they actually have mental faith. They know, yes, Jesus Christ. Yes, I heard that he died. The gospel, that he was Son of God and he died for my sin on the cross. Yes, I believe. They go to church, they go to the altar, they give their heart to the Lord, as I said, they confess their sin. And they might not go to church. You know, my heart is that I want to believe that everyone out there who call themselves Christian are truly born again. You know. And yet, we know that many who can themselves be born again with the Holy Ghost baptism, and yet they are not following the truth. So there is a little contradiction here. I'm born again, I have the Holy Ghost baptism, and yet I disagree with some of the doctrines of the Bible. I disagree with the one God. I believe there is a Trinity. Baptism in Father, Son, Holy Ghost is the true baptism. I don't believe that it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that people, when they die without God, they burn forever and ever without end. You know. And all these other contradictions. Some people say, well, that's not important. Doctrine always divides. Just believe in Jesus Christ, yes, all that is enough for your salvation. That is very true if you are really born again. You might be ignorant. But the Bible always tells us, there is a time when man's ignorance got winked at. But now God has called men to repentance. If you are ignorant, it's one thing. And if God opens your eye and you don't follow it, it's another. John chapter 6, John 6:37. All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Yeah, if you really come to the Lord, you know, we take this simple statement like this. And many times we take a Bible verse out of a context of the passage what Jesus is saying, and we just take it. And that's what I said, and many Christians know some of these verses, but they do not really walk in the ways of God as they should. Then we'll continue to go on and we'll find out some more. John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See, this is another verse. Simple verse concerning eternal life. But more than that, let us continue. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. See the word here. To the word of grace, the word of grace, which is able to build you up. So, many times we read the passage of scripture, we don't look at or statement or the verse, but we will look at it and we see that here it says, you pick up some key word here. The word is able to build you up. So, as it is, we have divine life. And divine life must be nurtured by the word of God. Like a child coming into the world, he's nurtured by the breast milk. And after a while, he will take some little solid, like porridge. And by has begun to learn to walk. Yeah, he will take meat and so on. So, a child grew up to adulthood. From the beginning of his childhood, he has to wane away from the milk into something solid. So, the word of God is not just milk. Yeah, it was milk, or it is milk to begin with when you are a newly born Christian. So you take milk. But when you grow up, if a child like my grandson, he's 8 years old now, if he has been taking milk all the way until now, he'll have a problem with his health. There is not much nutrient. Just continue taking milk. You know. So the same thing, if we just take the milk that we have and live by John 3:16, by all those verses of John that we pick up and say, yeah, we have eternal life, we have eternal life. And we feel like going to church, we go. We don't feel like going to church, we don't go. We are not like what Paul said to Timothy, that the Bible is, the scripture is inspired for our reproof, for doctrine, for correction, and things like that. So that we build up as a man of God for service, for good work. Not telling you to go out to be, you know, a charitable person. That's it. I'm not asking you to what you call form an organization or charitable organization or things like that. No. Good work means that you and yourself as a spiritual man conform with edification to the rest of the body of Christ as well as a blessing to the people of the world out there. Alright, Matthew 4:4. Well, I think that one we all know what it says here. Jesus said about man shall not live by bread alone. Remember, he was tempted by the devil after his fast for 40 days, 40 nights. Satan came to him and tempted him. Now, think about it, that Jesus Christ, when he was born, you know, being a baby, yes, he suckled at the mother's breast and grew up. Toddler, he's taking a little solid food and so on and so forth. Now, when he grew up, of course, at the age of 12, you know, he went to the temple and he was always, you know, meditating. He knew who he was. Even at a young age, he knew who he was. And well, when I say young age, I'm not talking about just the physical side of it. Yes, when I was young, at the age of 11 or 12 years old, around that I, you know, have a sense about God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know who I am, where I'm coming from. And when I heard the name of Jesus, and that name, there is something about that name, as the song said. That is true. And I began to be curious, so I went to a Baptist church for Sunday school. Of course, they are young, we are young. I was young then, you know. About 12 years old, so I go to Sunday school to learn. It was interesting to learn, and then later on, I gave my heart to the Lord. I began to realize that, yeah, at that moment, I realized who I am at that young age. I know who I am. So, you know, the same thing when Jesus was born, he grew up. As Luke said, you know, he grew up in finding favor with God and man. As a child, living in Nazareth with his father as a carpenter, Joseph, and the people around him, the neighbors around the family, of course, they will visit Joseph to have him build a chair or table or a cupboard. And they will know the boy called Jesus. Well behaved, polite, things like that. And Jesus going around, you know, him walking around, he knew who he was. And that's why he was able to have a lot of discussion with those religious people in the temple. And as he grew up, yes, as the Bible says, he grew up, as he continued to grow up, he increased in wisdom. Increasing wisdom. Where did he get this understanding? Where did he get the wisdom? And some people will say, of course, because he was the son of God growing up, therefore he should know. Being God, he should know. That is the way of the Trinitarian mind. You know. Jesus being, when he grew up, he was not yet presented. He was not yet incarnate by the Word. Or we would say the Word has not yet incarnate into him. So he's growing up, he went to the synagogue, he learned. Because there's the Word of God was taught in the synagogue. He would go to the temple with his parents during festivals. So that's how he grew in knowledge. That's how he grew as the Bible here. The Word said, the Word in Acts 20 that we read earlier, the Word is able to build you up. Yes. The Christian and the Bible. Some Christians, they don't even have a Bible. In many countries, I know that to be true. But there are Christians who can afford to buy a Bible. Yeah, they buy a Bible, they buy one Bible, they say, oh, I just buy a Bible to read it. But don't buy a Bible to read it, buy a Bible to study it. Because Paul admonished Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. We don't spend time studying the Bible, maybe many times we spend our time watching TV, watching movies, or playing some game. We only come to church on Sunday and just hear the Word of God on Sunday, that's it. Open our Bible on Sunday, that's it. I don't know what's coming on to the world yet. Because here we have the pandemic. And maybe 2-3 years probably it's tear off. And then there might be a war out there and the economy might collapse. This might happen. What are you going to do? Will you panic? And there will be corruption in many many countries in the world. Like what I've heard from the brother and sister in India about what's going on out there in India. People are so caught up that they fill oxygen tank not with oxygen.
and they will raise the price. And because of what the government did over there, telling the doctor if a person needs oxygen, you know, because of COVID, and you put him on a ventilator, they get a certain sum of money for support. And yet, there are corruption where doctor put normal person who are not COVID so they get the money. Oh yes, there are all kinds of form of corruption going on in the world. So here we are. The year 2021. Maybe 2-3 years from now. What's going to happen? The world is already full of problems. Out there in France, UK, in America. You know what we have over in China issue, Myanmar up there. What about Belarus, the recent event. And of course, Russia and America issue. In America with China issue. Are we going to be... are you building yourself up in the Word of God? For the Word of God is a solid rock. It is a fortress that you have to build yourself and come into it. You have to go into this cleft of the rock and be strengthened. Not just the last minute says, oh, when I need help, I go to the cleft of the rock. Always be there. Psalms. So, back to what Jesus said again. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Remember, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Psalms 1:1-3 that we read early on. I want to bring forth this particular phrase. Those who delight themselves in the law. If you delight yourself in the law, you are just like a tree planted by the rivers of living water and bring forth fruit. Oh yes. You know, the Bible is the source of our strength. As much as the Bible is the source of our assurance that we have eternal life. But if we have eternal life and yet on this earth you don't have the spiritual strength, you're not living the divine life, then something is very wrong. Alright? So, as the psalmist said, let us delight ourselves in the Word of God. And when we delight ourselves in the Word of God, we are just like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that bring forth much fruit. And that is very true. If you have a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water means a flowing water, not a stagnant water. It brings forth a lot of nutrients. And the tree is healthy. The root is taking up all the nutrients, you know, and will bring forth much fruits. All right now, let's go back to our key word here in 2 Timothy 3:16. I want to say this, that the Bible is also the foundation of all our knowledge. You understand what I'm saying now here? It's the foundation of all our knowledge. And it says in verse 6, Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Let's go to Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I like this. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What kind of knowledge? Knowledge of the Word of God? Yes, okay, good. But let me show you this this recent something that was sent to me. Now, I used to get quotes from this certain brother, and also sometimes get quotes from those in other countries. I don't mind people sending me quotes. They send me quotes of the scripture, they send me quotes of Brother Branham, no problem. And I will look at it and read it. But recently this quote came in, and I want you to look at it. Because what we read just now in Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now, if we have the divine life, and from God's mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, then if we hear the word of God, then we should have wisdom and understanding. So now, this believer sent me this. Usually when he sent me the scripture and one scripture and one quote of Brother Branham. Now I know that they are. Well, let me say this: in some of the quote that I read below it of this quote that come from Brother Branham, they have the name of the person. And I know who that person is. It's a Branhamite. You know, and they are making these quotes of Brother Branham and sending it out. But you know, what else would they do? They're sending out quotes of Brother Branham, trying to edify people with the word of Brother Branham. And all many of these quotes, I have seen them, I have read them, I read the book of Brother Branham, I heard it. But people just send it, that's fine. So now, here you have this quote from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, which we all know very well. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, they are quoting this scripture. But do they know what it actually entails? You know, that's, you know what, this even verse is sticking out of context just to put the word faith as emphasis. I think we all come in the unity of the faith. Okay, I wonder, how do they come in here? So this, then the next one is this quote to follow. Now, I want you to watch very carefully. This is a quote from Brother Branham from the book, The True Vine and the False Vine. No matter how you are dressed or what you do, as long as you are bearing the fruits of the Spirit, it shows the Spirit of Christ. It shows that Christ is in you. Now, when I read this, anybody reading this, if you are not wise enough and take this quote as face value, if I give this to a Christian out there, they say, "Oh my, you mean you people can just dress how you just dress anyhow? Huh? And no matter what you are doing, as long as you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit?" Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you? So my reply to the person, I said, here, what a contradiction here. Did not Brother Branham teach that believers should dress right because of the Spirit that is in them? Therefore, how then that a believer can dress indecently, no matter how you are dressed or what you do, can bear the fruits of Christ? That's why I don't look to him as absolute. Because as a man, he had mystics. Discrepancies are there in his messages. Not the message which just points to the Christ. Him alone. Too many believers are pointing to Branham and his words, as did the religious Jews who pointed to Moses and his words. Even the law, which were fulfilled by Christ and hung upon the cross. Now, that's my reply to him. And, of course, he replied me and said, "Brother Richard, not to be different, but there is no contradiction. Once a person is filled with the Spirit of Christ, the rest will follow to be a real Christian. Once the inside is changed, the outside automatically changes." God richly bless you. Yes, I know what he is saying. Alright, but I want to say this before I show you the next, my reply. If any one of us were to take and go and do a word search of Brother Branham's preaching of this message, the true vine and the false vine, and you look at what he was trying to describe, Brother Branham was saying about looking at the tree. He said, if the tree has, I think it's a sycamore or cinnamon bark, sycamore or cinnamon bark, I can't remember now, on the outside of the trunk, and yet the tree bears apple, that means you said that that tree is not a sycamore tree. So then he said this, no matter how you are dressed. So now, if you were to hear the message correctly, what was Melvin trying to say? And I have some people reply to me when I forward that, saying that, oh, Problem is trying to say that it doesn't matter if you dress as an Indian, because you're Indian, you dress an Indian dress, or you are an African, dress an African, it doesn't matter as long as the inside is correct. Was that what Problem is trying to say? But by taking, no matter how we are looking at what Problem is trying to say, we should know what he's trying to say in the first place. But by taking this quote the way it is, and then sending it out, I can tell you this, young people who are new in the message, oh, so Brother Bram allows me to dress anyhow I want, and I do anything I want, but as long as I bear the fruit of a Christian. But question is, what's the fruit of a Christian? So this is my reply to him. I don't know how there is no contradiction in that quote. Now I'm talking about that quote, but looking just at that quote. And that's why I hate people just sticking out a quote, a broader brand, and start saying, and start to prove a doctrine, or prove a point. And that's why it's very messy. There's no wisdom in that. So I said, I don't know how, there's no contradiction in that quote. No matter how a person is dressed, or how he or she, or what she, he or she does, as long as he or she is bearing the fruits of the Spirit, it shows Christ is in him or her. How is it possible? When a tree cannot bring forth sweet and sour fruit, or can it? How is it that a woman goes around wearing indecent clothes, or the bikini, or doing worldly things, and even cursing, can bear the fruits of Christ? Can it? Is it possible? This is what organized Christians believe, that as long as you have love, long-suffering, forgiveness, etc., are such fruits the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Did not the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, and all other religious people of other religions have the same fruit? So what fruits are the Bible talking about? The question is, did Branham make a mistake in his utterance? That which believers should not just, that's why believers should not just quote him to teach people. Did he not tell believers to use the Bible? I just received a text, even because I sent this, I forwarded it to a brother in France. I just received a text from a pastor in France. He said that some groups have attacked him for preaching sanctification, telling him that that was Wesley's message. I wasn't surprised. I said, sorry, not the word attack, but he used the word condemn. So they condemned him for preaching sanctification, because that was Wesley's message. That was in another age, the sixth age, nothing to do with us. So where is wisdom? Where is wisdom? Somebody can take the Bible verse and say, there is no God. See, the Bible said there is no God. Yet the Bible also tells us the fruit said that there is no God. So what fruit are we talking about? What was Abraham saying? Maybe from what I look at the way he speaks in that message, he was trying to make a point that is correct, but he didn't put it quite right. You got to admit it. We don't have to give excuses for Abraham that he meant this, he meant that. The only thing is this. Sometimes we preacher say things, try to make a point, but we didn't make it quite right. And I know that people have even take what I said. And in one message, there was somebody uploaded it on the YouTube. And somebody came in and attacked me for what I said. The word I said regarding Jackson, I used the word Branham. You know, and when it was meant to be Jackson. So I put a mark there. I said, that is just a slip of wood. But the contact is there. But you see, people don't care. They want to attack me, they can break it down. Like what out there in denomination, they attack Brother Branham, taking out contact to make a mess of him that he's a false prophet, but they quote him this way, he said this way, but that's not the way he said it. And the Branhamites are doing the same. The Christian and the Bible. Not the Christian and Wesley's message. Not the Christian and Abraham's words. We're looking at what each church and messenger have pointed us to. And we should thank God for Luther, for Wesley. And because Wesley preached sanctification, that was for his message, not for today. We cannot preach sanctification today. Oh my. Proverbs 2:6 says this, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What kind of understanding? Oh! Understanding, all for to understand things. Now the Bible helps us to understand. Like I said this, now why is there a resurgence in America, in Europe, especially in America, you know, to try to get a government or whatever the system is out there to put pressure on China to bring up the truth about the COVID, the coronavirus. They want to know where it comes from a lab, because now many of them, doctor and expert, was thinking, yeah, it cannot be from the bat, it cannot be from the market. They're not going to tell you. So here we have the wisdom of the Word of God. Look at the understanding of things that the Bible gives us wisdom. And that's why I remember what I preached in May, I think on May the 3rd, regarding this coronavirus, that we can look in the scripture why it cannot be natural. There must be an answer somewhere in the Bible. The only question you ask me, they have no answer. And you can only get the answer when you go to heaven and talk to God. That is where, how did God exist? Who created God? That you ask him. Yeah, we have a lot of foolish people out there who don't want to believe in God. They always talk about, they always have to put back in the hoop. Then who created God? And even science now realize that there must be a first cause, a cause. And that cause is God. They got to admit it. But they just want to use the word cause, you know? Not God. They don't like the word God. Because they have to face him. So they brush it away. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of God is sure, making wise the simple. That's right. The testimony of the Lord, the covenant of the Lord, the word of the Lord, whatever the Lord said. Making wise the simple. What do you mean by making wise the simple? What is simple? Simple means the simple folks. You don't need to be an educated person to figure it out like scientists. Because you cannot find God in trying to be a scientist and try to figure out God. No. I know that God is in science. If you know how to look at science. Okay, let's go to the next one, and we know not the standard of our conduct. That's what the word is supposed to give to us. The Bible is supposed to reprove us about our conduct. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 again, where the Bible said, all scripture are given by inspiration. It is profitable for reproof, for correction. That's our text. For reproof, for correction. Remember this? The word of God, the scripture of God, establishes our, for us that it is the basis of our, give us the assurance, in our faith, who we are, the assurance that we have eternal life in God, and He also give us the strength, because He nurtures us, builds us up, and that is the foundation of all our knowledge. Even in our knowledge of the world, what things are going on in the world. And now, of course, the Bible tells us that it is profitable for reproof and for correction. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Right? And if a member in the fellowship are doing the wrong things, are not doing the right things, the word of God will reprove them. And if they know that it is true and they try to brush away, there's something wrong with their brother or their sister. Huh? I remember Brother Paul shared one Friday, about respect to authority. And I know that Brother Rolio, I think it was, that talks about forgiveness. And that is very important. When somebody did wrong to you, learn to forgive. I know you cannot forgive the thing that is done to you. All these years, the thing that was done to me, I forgive the brother, but you cannot forget it. You always bring to memory. When something is thorough, you see. But the thing right here is this. When you are told that you don't have respect, what would you do? When people disrespect the elder, respect authority, so you know that you are wrong. Hey, brother and sister, you need to apologize. Don't brush it and say, I know I'm wrong, and you just brush it. And I said this, the Bible is very strict that Jesus can talk about restitution. Christ said, don't bring your gift to the altar until you go back to make right with the brother whom you have wronged. And when the brother tells you that you have done this to him, and you try to give excuses, then you have a bad spirit. Bad spirit. And I know there are many out there. Just impossible. I just wonder. A brother here text check with me and wonder all this thing that is done. How God deals with this when people refuse to admit that they are wrong. Refuse to apologize for the wrong that they have done. The pain that they have cost to a brother or a sister. They know that it's wrong. But pride has taken a hold of many of these believers. And I hope and I pray that it is not in your life. Yes? You know, it pains me to these days. Whenever my mind drifts up to me to Queenstown, where I once lived, and the image of that ice kacang stove, I don't know what ice kacang to some of you means, shredded ice. And how that when I was young, I was cheating the man. And you know, he knew that I love his, dessert. That I would cheat him of the 10 cents or 15 cents. He knew it. And he has been quietly give it to me, and one day he just told me, he said, "Young man, you have been eating my ice kacang for free." You know, when I became a Christian and the Lord convicted my heart, I wanted to go to apologize to Him. You know, when I went back after so many years, He's no longer around, He passed away. All I want to say to Him, I'm very sorry. I want to tell Him that He has been a very good man to even allow me to eat His dessert for free. He knows I couldn't afford it. I would have to save some money. Sometimes it's too late for us to make a man of the things. But now being a Christian, I'm conscious that you are somebody, buying a food or something like that, and there's a short change. Always said not short change, but when the change came back and I got more money than it should be, I would return it. So I always take the money I count, so that I know whether it's extra or not extra, whether it's 10 cents extra or not, or even a dollar or 10 cents. Many times I just return, because sometimes they are, if not the one who is selling to me, handling the cash, would have to deal with the employer. So, we need to be very conscious of these things now, because we are living a divine life. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Render unto Caesar the thing that belong to Caesar. And the thing that don't belong to us, why do we want to have it? We want to take it." All right. Now let's go to Romans 5, 14. Chapter 15, verse 4. Chapter 15, verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." You see, it's always about the scripture. Written for our learning, and we through patience. Not eager to be patient waiting for the coming of the Lord, patient for His will be done in our life. We're going through trials and not nice, but we get comforted by the scripture as well, that we might have hope. It is written. I just rebuked the devil. He didn't say, "It is spoken." People can quote, maybe if they're tempted by the devil, say, "It is spoken by Brother Branham." It's not going to work. You've got to quote the scripture. Jesus quote the scripture. "It is written, it is written, it is written." You see. So it is written, and Paul said here, that we might be comforted by the scripture, the comfort of the scripture, that we have hope. Yeah, sometimes you read the scripture, you're comforted. Right. Whether in trouble or in death. John 16, 1 to 4. This thing have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time come. The whosoever kill you will think that he doeth God a service. Oh, I have been killed by many times. And this thing will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But this thing have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So you see, the thing is so true. This thing have they would they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But whatever Christ has spoken is written down, so they are for our admonition. They give us the word to sustain us in the time of trouble, being accused, persecuted, trial, and tribulation. You know, each time when people, when some of these believers out there, well, like Peter Wong, like John Tay in Ghana, and Dalton Bruce, they accuse me of things that are not true. They dare to lie. And even just last few weeks ago, you know, someone tagged me on Facebook. At first, I don't know what is all this thing about tagging. You know, I'm still learning about this Facebook. Yeah, the thing I have to know is I need to know their faces. That's why it's called Facebook. So when I went to my Facebook and I saw I was tagged, and someone so and so tagged me about something, I don't even know how I was tagged. So what happened? I went into the page, I click on it, and it bring me to some kind of discussion. And I look at it, well, I see what people are saying. They were saying something here and there, and then one person asked a question. He said, I want to know about this, what John said, a sin not unto death. Remember? There's a sin not unto death. So, he wanted to know. So, well, since I was tech, I don't know what mean by the tech, you know. So, I just put a comment there. I said, go to my website and read the message, The Sin of Adam. And you may have an understanding of this word, the sin not unto death. Lo and behold, after a few days, you know, I don't go to Facebook every day, after a few days I went in, some guy, well, he's not a Branham, but he's a, you want to call, Amosite. You know, I don't know him, his name is just so strange, you know, and he attacked me, called me a heretic, you know. And then another one who somehow attacked me, make a comment to me away from that page, direct to my messenger, whatever you call that. You know, accused me of something, so I said, you be careful what you say. Because there are a lot of things that transpire between me and Jackson, you know, and all this problem you do not know. And so, the problem is this, well, there are some others that replied to this believer and said that, what are you attacking Brother Gunn? What has he done? You know, all that I have said is, go and read this message. And you know, but people are just full of hate towards me. You know why? I have no idea, because I preach something which, well, you know, like the Jews, when Paul preached grace, and those believing Jews said, no, we don't want it. We want also to keep the law. And then, what do you know? What can Paul do? So this has always been the issue. And they have no idea. The brother Jackson, they think that this man make a command. He said, if you can go back in time, reverse back in time, you should have Jackson as your pastor. So why must I have him as a pastor? You see, the problem is that there have been so much lies going out there by this Nigerian Amos Oborua, whatever you pronounce that name. He believed that he is the lead apostle. Brother Jackson is the chief apostle. And of course, there is this chief apostle died. And there must be someone leading now because they believe in the continuing light. So this Nigerian man believed that he is the one. He called himself the lead apostle. So he know he wants to be the chief or the lead. And so he began to attack me. No idea why he attacked me. I don't even know him. Or because Brother Jackson spoke about my doctrine, that he disagreed with me. So this man had to do that. So you know, brother and sister, these are evil things. I have dealt with Brother Jackson, of course, one to one. And he promised not to do certain things, but he did it. And he accused me of certain things, which I told him, if you can prove it, just two witnesses, and I will fly over there, and I will confess my sin. And then I have tried to deceive your people. He couldn't. I said, Brother Jackson, you couldn't find even one, because it's not true. It's in your head. You see, when a man tries to prove his doctrines are all correct, he make a mess. And then the lead apostle came around and do the same thing, and he make it worse. And these people are following him because he is attacking me, they too have to attack. What kind of doctrine are you feeding on? You know, Brother Jackson made a statement, he said this, if you believe right, you live right. And it is so true, I agree with that 100%. Never have I ever. I have actually supported Brother Jackson and defended him. Never have I ever attack his doctrine or anything. Till he began to attack, and then I have to put out the truth. Let us live the life. Yeah, we make a mistake. You know, on this side of the on this side, before I cross over, if I done anything wrong, I want to make it right. I don't want to mess up my life here. And stand before the Lord of God, the Lord of hosts, in the day of judgment, and to give account of the evil that I have done. Alright. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Yes, when in death, Paul said about the coming of the Lord, the moment of the twinkling of the eye, yes. Even the dead in Christ are righteous, and you can comfort one another with this word. Yeah, sometimes we lost our loved one. Yeah, there's a lot of pain. But the word of God can comfort us. In trouble, in death, in anything. Alright, next point I want to say that the word of God, the second scripture, the very word of God cleanses us. The word of God is a sanctification. You know, it's what we call a cleansing. Let us go to John chapter 15, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5, 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So the word is a cleansing. So if you don't want to hear the word of the Lord, and you don't want to look into the scripture and to hear and understand the word of God, I don't know where you get your cleansing. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Truth kinds of falsehood. What do you call that? Falsehood, dirty us. Pollute us.
Yeah.
You know. So people listen to falsehood. What do you expect? Psalms 119. You know, this is the longest psalm, longest chapter in the Bible. And it is based upon the Hebrew alphabet. Alright, the 22 Hebrew alphabet. And there are all 8 verses, or 8 lines to the song. So, if you want, you can go and sing. You can sing it in English. I don't know how to sing it in Hebrew. Anyway, 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thereto according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man, why is it young man? Young man also include young woman. What about old man or old woman? We're supposed to be wise by now, I guess, if you have been a Christian for long. But of course, for every one of us, you know, by taking heed to the according to the word of the Lord. 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and the light unto my pathway. So it helps you to know where you are walking. Otherwise, we are in trouble. Alright, remember this, that Christ overcame temptation by quoting the word of God. That is how, by the word of God, we are kept clean. We all remember what the word of God said. And we can rebuke the devil and, with the word of God. All the word of God reminds us how to walk before Christ. The last point here is that the scripture, if we know the scripture, we know our Bible, then we are equipped for the work of God. You may not be a minister, but every one of us have a work to do. Let's go to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So Timothy is telling, Paul is wrote this to Timothy regarding being a workman. Alright? So our ministers must be a workman. A lot of ministers are not workmen. So it's important that we study it. To show ourselves proof unto God, so we know how to be ashamed and rightly dividing the word of truth on that. Ephesians 6:17, and two more verses of three more verses, and we are close. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why sometimes, you know, when I remember when I was young, when we were in Sunday school and teaching young people in the Assemblies of God, we let them learn the scripture, everybody have the Bible, so we said, draw sword. In the name of draw sword. So I said, hold your Bible in your hand, hold your sword in your hand. I said, ready? Turn to John 6:35. Then they start to draw up the sword. See how far they can draw and they start to eat. You know, this is one good practice. So it is the sword of the Lord. Alright. It's one weapon that we should use. Second Corinthians. So the more that we know how to handle the word of God, the more that we use the sword regularly, we will be able to use it to live the life that we should live as a soldier of God and as a believer with divine life, they used to say, to be able to fight against the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 and verse 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the strongholds are the devils. Whatever is out there, whatever comes against our life, what the devil will use, you know, we can tear it down with the word of God. Verse 10. For his letter, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily language is weak and his speech contemptible. So the word of his letter, the epistle that Paul wrote, the word of God, all this that he's written, just as John said, I wrote this word, you know, to you. This word, they are life. Alright, that you may know how to use it. That you may know how to live it. Lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and for all with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teacher having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto favor. Watch thou in all things. You see, this is true. Paul admonished Timothy to preach the word. And you know the time that we are living in, I think it's worse than the days of Paul, the days of Timothy. People have itching ears to hear all this favor and sound doctrine. And these false teachers are drawing people, disciples or followers of Christ away. Instead of to the word of God, away to some fable, some falsehood. And this is what we are seeing today. You know, it's not that they are telling some kind of a story, a joke, but they are quoting some scripture, but misinterpret scripture. They are quoting, well, Moses. And they are quoting the proverb their own, and then they twist the scripture a little bit according to their tradition, according to how they look at it. On to the hearing of the people who have each year to be ticket, like they like to hear certain things, you know, that do not hurt them too much, or do not rebuke them too much, or cut down them too much. People don't want to be told the truth. They don't want to be hurt. But brothers and sisters, truth hurts. Truth set us free. Because you know, we are blind to sometimes to our own opinion, to our own belief. We think this is what it should be, what it should be. And then the worse it gets, it comes up to a place where we become so prideful. Like the one in here in Singapore lied, made falsehood about Brunei and me on the on his website. You know, well, nice thing to take it down. He took it down, but next moment up he goes again with a little tweeze of some words written. Instead of prophesy that one of the thunders would die this year, it was 2017, I believe. So I wonder who the thunder that died. You see, when a person is prideful, he starts to go against some people that they do not like. Pride is not in the Christian life. Pride is not a divine, it's not divine character, not a character of a divine life. So here we are. You as a Christian, believer, I use the word Christian, but we are supposed to be Bible believers, following the message that calls us out from Mystery of Babylon into the light of God's word. If we have Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, the fivefold ministry. Alright, it will certainly lead us to what the faith is supposed to be. They will unite the people in the truth, not unite the people in Brother Branham, or not unite the people in the World Council of Churches. And that's what the World Council of Churches is doing. A world church, come together, not under the Word of God, but under the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. They're all equal. Now, they're bringing in all the other religious people, other religion, into this world council. And so what do we have? We have confusion. We have Babylon, Babel, many voices, and they are not distinctive. They are all just what we call sounding symbol that is not, does not have a message that is clear and precise. And may the Lord help every one of us. Otherwise, brother and sister, if we are not following the word of God and holding this Bible as our own absolute, then we don't have the life that God really wants to give us. We will build up, be perfect, matured until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Master, thank you for your grace today. We know your word, Lord, that has been spoken time and time again, Father, of the importance to take heed to thy word. And oftentimes we read the same scriptures over and over again. How that your word is inspired. And that it is for our admonition, for our study, and for our reproof, and for doctrine, and so on and so forth. That we grow up to be what we ought to be. Children of living God that have the same character as your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, as your people, this Bible should be our life, should be our nourishment every day, because that is what it nurtures us and maintain our life and help us to learn to walk in the light that you have given us, even for this generation. So Father, bless your word now, Lord, and bless everyone. Asking that in Jesus' name. Amen.